John the Baptist is a humble and a holy man. He probably wouldn't want all this fuss about his birthday. Carol, will you pull me down on number one? I feel like I'm broadcasting into outer space here. Number one, the next one. Number one, yes, there it is. All right. Three birthdays we celebrate in the Roman liturgical calendar. Jesus, of course, we know when that is. We celebrate the birth of Mary, his mother, on September the 8th. And John the Baptist, Jesus' older cousin, by 6 months, we celebrate his birthday on this date. This would have been the 12th Sunday at an ordinary time, but with it being June the 24th, that's replaced with his birthday, which is 6 months to Christmas Eve. And since John the Baptist is Jesus' older cousin, he was the first one preaching of the two of them. The message was the same: repent and believe in the gospel. John was offering a baptism at the Dead Sea, in the desert at Qumran. He said, I will baptize you with water. One is coming after me who will baptize you with fire and the Holy Spirit. Now, let's back up. In the gospel, we're hearing about John's birth. It was a miracle. Isaiah, in the first reading, was given two prophecies, one about the birth of the Savior. A virgin will be with child, his name will be Emmanuel. But Isaiah, 8 centuries before the birth of Jesus, also was given a prophecy about the birth of John the Baptist, that he would be born as a voice crying out in the wilderness, prepare the way of the Lord. So we have two miracles in the first chapter of Luke: the pregnancy of Jesus in the womb of Mary, who was too young, about 14, had never had relations with a man, and of course, John the Baptist, whose mother Elizabeth was too old and had never had a child before. But whereas Gabriel went to the Blessed Mother at the grotto at Nazareth to tell her she'd be the mother of Jesus, Gabriel did not visit with Elizabeth. He chose to visit with Elizabeth's husband, Zechariah, who at that time was the high priest in the temple at Jerusalem. And the angel came to him while Zechariah was offering incense and sacrifice at the temple, there at the altar, right in front of the Ark of the Covenant. And when this angel of God tells this priest that his wife is about to become a mother and himself a father, he doubted, and that is why his voice is taken away. He is struck mute, and that will remain until the child is born. And as we hear at the end of Luke chapter 1 today, he fulfills the prophecy by writing on the tablet, his name will be called John, a name which means in Hebrew, one who has found favor with God. Well, certainly, all those characters in the Christmas story had found favor with God. And that is why we have the second joyful mystery of the Rosary, when Mary comes to share her joy with her older cousin Elizabeth. And yet, if you recall, when Elizabeth sees Mary still off in the distance, she said, how is it that the mother of my Lord should come to me? But then she feels something in her gut. The child in her womb is leaping for joy. The unborn John the Baptist rejoicing in the presence of the unborn Christ, his first recognition that he's in the presence of the Messiah. Now we can fast forward 30 years. Let's keep in mind that when John the Baptist and Jesus are preaching, they're still 6 months apart in age, but both around 30 years old. The Gospels record no miracle performed by Jesus before he was baptized. John the Baptist doesn't want to comply with the request when Jesus said, baptize me in the waters of the Jordan. He thinks it should be the other way around. Both are very humble men. Neither want to do the honors. And yet, when Jesus asks him, John the Baptist relents, takes him into the water, and everything changed. Whereas we have no record of a miracle before John baptizes Jesus. Once he receives baptism, he's unstoppable. He spends the last 1,000 days of his life between his baptism and his crucifixion, preaching, teaching, and healing. But in that one moment, before the baptism, we have John the Baptist recorded in the Gospel of John, chapter 1, verse 29, looking at the adult Jesus off in the distance there at the Dead Sea, and he said, behold the Lamb of God, something that we repeat every time the Mass is celebrated before we receive Jesus in Holy Communion. And at that moment, there was a peaceful transfer of power. Since John had been preaching first, he had his own disciples, people who were following him. And if he wasn't a humble man, if he had been an arrogant man or a proud man, he would have liked having people following him. He would have said, some of them think I'm the Messiah. Why don't I just pretend that I am? But that was never his purpose. As we hear the Acts of the Apostles, today's second reading, tell us he understood that he was not the message, but the messenger, not the light, but a finger pointing toward the light. And when the Son of Man comes, he would find himself unworthy to even untie the straps of his sandals. John wants his disciples to leave him and follow the Lamb of God, who is Jesus. He never called them to follow him. He called them to lead them to the Son of God, who is standing in his midst. In every sense, then, the reason why we celebrate John the Baptist's birthday is because of his pivotal role that he plays in the greatest story ever told. He is the last prophet before the coming of the Christ. When he says, "Behold the Lamb of God," he becomes the first disciple of the Christ. And in just a couple chapters, he will be martyred for the same gospel message as King Herod puts him to death and serves up his head on a platter, making John the Baptist in many ways the first Christian witness to give his life for the cause of the gospel. And that is why I think John sums up his life best in the Gospel of John chapter 3 verse 30 when he said, "He must increase, I must decrease," referring to the Christ. He must increase, I must decrease. And that should be the same for all of us, that we spend so much of our time and attention wrapped up in our earthly concerns and worldly affairs. But John the Baptist, dressed in camel's hair, eating locusts and wild honey, living in the desert, he left that all behind so he could focus completely on the prize of salvation. And he encourages us to do the same, to store up for ourselves treasures in heaven. And so, 6 months from today, when we gather to celebrate Christmas Eve and the birth of Jesus, let us never forget the birth of his cousin who prepared the way of the Lord, as should we.